Drive Time on RTE Radio 1 with National Irish Bank. The bank that brought Danske Bank's international expertise to Ireland is now bringing the Danske Bank name.
This morning, the Minister for Justice, Alan Shatter, expressed confidence in the action that the Gardaí took.
I want to emphasise, I've no doubt the Gardaí in both instances acted in good faith. And the difficulty, of course, is in the past the Gardaí, and indeed HSE, have been criticised for not always intervening as speedily as they should. In a sense, they're damned if they do and they're damned if they don't.
So we'll have to wait now until that report is completed before we find out what were the concerns of the Gardaí. But what are the circumstances in which a Garda can take a child into care without reference to the courts or any other agency? What is supposed to happen in the ordinary course of events? Philip Boucher-Hayes joins me. What is supposed to happen, Philip?
Legislation is very clear, Mary, in many respects. And so are the guidelines and the policies that flow from that legislation. But they are also very ambiguous and very much open to the interpretation of the individual guard. The preferred route that the authorities should follow when taking a child into care, and time is of the essence, is as follows. The HSC is supposed to be the designated agency, and they would make an application to the court for an emergency care order. Now, this goes before a district court judge. The judge, if he or she agrees, will grant a warrant, and representatives of the Gardaí and the HSE can then present the warrant, and the child can be taken into the care of the HSE for an initial period of 8 days. But as was used in the case of Talla, there is provision in the legislation for the Gardaí to act on their own without reference to the HSE, without reference to the courts. If a member of An Garda Síochána, the legislation says, and it doesn't specify the rank, so presumably it can be any guard from rank and file right up to the commissioner, if a member has reasonable grounds for believing that there is an immediate and serious risk, quote unquote, to the health or the welfare of any child, they can remove the child to safety without a warrant. Now, the child is then supposed to be passed on to the care of the HSE by the guard, again, quote unquote, as soon as possible. And then the HSE must apply within the course of the next 3 days for an emergency care order at the district court.
So what then constitutes an immediate and serious risk?
Well, this is where the fatal ambiguity arises. There's nothing in the legislation that defines that, and there is nothing in Children First guidelines that defines what is an immediate and serious risk. So I asked the Gardaí what guidance they had in reaching a decision or determination about what constituted immediate and serious. They sent me the legislation or a copy of it and the Children First guidelines. Now, I pointed out that there was nothing in there that would assist them in defining what was an immediate and serious risk. So did they have anything else to assist them in making a determination as to when it is that they should be allowed to exercise this pretty immense discretionary power? But they unfortunately haven't come back to me before I came down to you here in studio.
Now, at face value, was the action taken in Talla or in Athlone done to avert an immediate or serious risk?
We don't obviously know what all of the considerations were. We only have Alan Shatter's word for it that he believes that the Gardaí acted in good faith here, and the Gardaí can't and won't say anything obviously until after they've conducted their report. In Talla, it is clear that the Facebook message that was posted on the TV3 page identified nothing being amiss other than the difference in appearance of the child and an unsubstantiated allegation of child abduction and social welfare fraud. That the message actually read word for word, "Today was on the news that blonde child found in Roma camp in Greece. There is also little girl living in Roma house in Talla. She is blonde and blue eyed. Her name is blank and the address is blank. I am from blank myself, and it is a big problem there, missing kids. The Romas robbing them to get child benefit in Europe." Now, as I say, apart from alleging social welfare fraud and alleging child abduction without substantiation, there's nothing else there. There's no guidance as to whether immediate action should be taken in either of those instances and whether the Gardaí or the HSE should go to the courts first or whatever. Now, we may never know. Were there other more pressing concerns that made themselves known to the Gardaí as they got in touch with that person or they investigated the claims? Because this report might never be published. But I have talked on background to a number of people who are familiar with the case, And none of the things that appear under any of the headings in Children First guidelines or elsewhere, such as abuse or neglect, appear to have arisen in this case at all.
But doesn't it raise the question, would it have been possible for the Gardaí or the Gardaí acting in conjunction with the HSE to supervise the child in question in her home?
Rather than taking the dramatic step of taking her into care. And yes, there is. The care orders are obviously what allow the Gardaí of the HSE to remove a child from somewhere where they believe them to be at danger. But if the danger is less immediate and there is less of a risk, a supervision order can be imposed. This allows for social workers to make daily or twice daily or however frequently the judge decides and the HSE decide is necessary, visits to the home to check up on the child's well-being. But in talking to people down at the courts, they have drawn my attention to the fact that there are now far less supervision orders being sought by the HSE than care orders being sought by the HSE. And their suspicion, not confirmed for me by the HSE, and it is only a suspicion, their suspicion is that a supervision order is far more hard to actually implement because it requires social workers, of which we know there is a huge shortage, to be making frequent and repeated visits to the house of the child in question, whereas a care order requires their transfer away from there and into a foster home. Now, I checked this out. I look back on the court's reports for the last couple of years to see how many supervision orders were granted versus how many care orders were granted. If you go back to 2009, there was 627 supervision orders and 941 care orders where children were taken into care. Fast forward to last year's report from 2012. The numbers are not directly comparable because they have been calculated a different way. But remember, 2009, 627 supervision orders. It was 1,346 by 2012. But the care orders, because, sorry, there's been a jump of 100% there, obviously, in the supervision orders between those 2 years. The care orders increases eightfold from 941 up to 7,969. So the HSE is, on the face of it, on this reading of these numbers, applying for far more care orders, far more children that they want to take into care rather than see them supervised in their own homes.